Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 5 through 10. What happens too when your sugar gets high? It clouds up your thinking, and it's hard to come up with your thought. And all right, 2 Corinthians. I want to talk to you about Paul's thorn in his flesh. Paul's thorn. How many of you have ever been pricked by a thorn, like a rose bush? That hurts, don't it? Well, it's not talking about that kind of a thorn, but let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's stand for the reading. Let's look at verse 5. Did I preach here last Wednesday? Didn't I preach on the third heaven? One Wednesday I preached on it. Okay. So now I'm going to preach about the second part of it. We went through 1 through 4 last week. Let's look at 5 through 10 tonight. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5. Of such a one I will glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Remember he was taken up and saw the third heaven? Remember that? We talked about. Paul actually got taken up in the third heaven. His soul left. But he went back in his body. God didn't cut that silver cord. Remember? How many remember what we talked about? Verse 6, for though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. Yeah, we've got nothing to glory in ourselves. Only thing we can glory about is glory for the Lord. If there's anything good about me or you, it's nothing about me or you, it's all about God. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think me above that which he seeth me to be, or heareth of me, unless I should be exalted above, we're going to be working on this verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. You know, you could get a big head. I mean, if anybody could ever got high-minded, Paul could have, because God gave him a lot of revelations. He wrote half your New Testament Bible, plus he was taken up to third heaven. That guy could walk the dog, if you. Amen. I shouldn't talk like that. And but he could boast, Billy. He could play the part of Pete. But it was all God anyway, so he realized that. Anyways, the thorn was it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, and I'm going to talk to you about Paul's thorn in the flesh tonight. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. By the way, he's not just saying that to Paul. He's saying it to every one of us. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's what I want, and I think that's everyone should want. I want the power of God resting on me. And therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities and persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. We're always strong in the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this precious scripture. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. What a great Christian he was. And Lord, how you used his life. A man that was killed Christians and hated Christians, and later got saved and then turned from those wicked ways and did great things for you. Lord, help us to learn more how we can serve you tonight. And just use us, I pray. Bless all the classes, we ask in Christ's name. And Lord, be with Annie Davis and Lord, Brother Billy with a surgery coming up Monday, and Lord, tomorrow surgery with Nancy. Lord, help those doctors, oh God. Help those doctors to do well so they could be a blessing to those that are going to get surgeries. We ask your blessings on their life and their family. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's very interesting that the contrast of which Paul experienced and felt in chapter 12, in the first verses 1 through 4, he talks about going up to the third heaven. That's pretty exciting. I mean, to me, now he He has he goes from the third heaven, from going down, having trouble with Satan. A messenger. How many are with me yet? And I put down, what? Wow, what an experience off the charts. What a spiritual high. But he goes from that spiritual high on verse 4, in verses 5 through 10. Now Paul comes down to tell us he has a thorn in the flesh. Wow! First he's way up there, Mac, in the third heavens. Now he's down here. Life can change real quickly, can't it? Now Paul's still talking spiritual, but what I'm saying, see, even good people have bad things happen to them. A lot of times, Christians look and say, oh, my lands, what did they do with God? They're, you know, why would they? I'm going to tell you, your whole life, you're going to have ups and downs. We're all made of flesh. Amen? And Paul comes down in verse 7 and tells us he has a thorn in the flesh. Look at verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. Yeah, you think if we wouldn't go up and be taken up and saw the third heavens? You think we wouldn't be, hey man, you better listen to me, man. I've been up there. You guys are just peons. Hello? How many are with me? Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. How many see that? Paul says in verse 7, he is given a thorn in the flesh. And then he goes on to say, this thorn in the flesh, if you keep reading verse 7, was the messenger of Satan. How many see that? The messenger of Satan. And what's it do? It buffets me. So, lest I should be exalted above measure. Kind of like a governor. Kept him in his place so he couldn't go above the speed limit. How many are with me? He said, this messenger kept me in line. This infirmity, whatever it was, I'll share with you what I think it is in a few minutes here, kept me from getting too high-minded. Sometimes we got to be, sometimes when God blesses us, we think, oh man, we're special. All people are special to God. Amen? And it says not to get high-minded in the book of Romans. This thorn in the flesh, Paul says, is a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Now look at also verse 7 tells us, the thorn in the flesh was sent, the messenger of Satan was sent to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know, our flesh is weak. Many times we get weak in the flesh and we forget God and leave God out of the equation. I want to tell you, any good thing, anything happens, it's because God bless us. Amen? And if I wouldn't have got saved, first of all, if I wouldn't have got saved, I don't think I ever would have married Rosie. I'd have lost out on that. I never got saved. Wouldn't have got married. Wouldn't have had the life that I had. I think I would have been dead by now. I know for the guys that I ran with, most of the North Toledo guys, they're all dead that I ran with. Most of them, not all. You run in bad places, and you run with bad people, your life is shortened. Knives, guns, drugs. You people of the light need to stay in the light. We need to stay away from the places of darkness. And that beer joint is a place of darkness. You ever notice about beer joints? They're dark. You never walked into a bar that it was bright. Did you ever notice that? I didn't know until after I got saved. I never noticed that. One day I said to her, man, yeah, I'm a those bars were dark. That's right. It's a breeding ground for sin. It's a place of sin. And praise God, I'm 63, 64. Over, oh, I can't remember my mind. Over 40-some years now, I ain't been in a bar. Hallelujah. Maybe more than that. But I know it's over 20-some years, and I'm glad of that. But I used to live in them as a kid. Used to shut them down. Some days we were supposed to shut at 2:30, and a lot of times I'd walk out at 5:30. Sun would be coming up sometimes. And we'd sit and play poker and cards, euchre all night long there. And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad God saved me out of that. And Paul said there was a thorn sent to him. And I noted this. There are ups and downs in our life. And there are high and lows in our life. Look up to me. In every Christian's life, they're going to have ups and downs and highs and lows. There's going to be ups when things are going real good, downs when things are going bad. We're not exempt from what goes on in the world. If you drink tainted milk that they bring to the store, and you just like the lost person going to get sick, you're going to get sick too. And highs and lows. You have spiritual highs, and you're going to have spiritual lows. There's going to be times that you want to go on that mountain and take them all on, the prophets of Baal, and then there'll be other times you'll run from Jezebel, you know. And so, how many are still with me? And so, there's highs and lows in the Christian life. Now look at verse 8. And Paul's talking about this thorn in the flesh, that messenger of Satan that was sent to him. For this thing, this thorn in the flesh, how many got me in verse 8? I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. Paul tells us he went to the Lord three times that messenger of Satan be removed, and it was not removed. And I believe Paul walked with God. Sometimes God puts things in our life to actually make us get closer to Him. Adversity sometimes, believe it or not, helps us. Because if everything was just roses and beautiful things, we'd forget God. When you're on the mountaintop, you don't seek God much. But when you're in the valley, Billy, we seek Him a lot. How many are with me? And so, sometimes I think God brings us down in the valleys just so we'll seek Him more. And it's good for us to seek Him. And three times Paul went to the Lord, and God said, nah, just go on, Paul. Look at verse 9. And he said unto me, he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. How many see that? I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But I want to tell you, God's grace is sufficient. When you go to that surgery Monday, Billy, God's grace is going to be sufficient. You might. It's not wrong to have some feelings of inadequacy. That's normal. That's us inside. But I'm telling you, God's grace is sufficient no matter what. No matter how you feel, no matter what I feel, God's grace is sufficient. I remember about a year ago, Jemuel, he had to have surgery inside his head there, and they had to take some stuff out of that near his brain. And man, I know Lonnie's here now, but boy, Lonnie. That was one of the scariest days for preachers, and I know it was for you and Tito Mal and the rest of the family. He went into that surgery, and I prayed, oh God, and I kept a smile and said, everything's going to be all right, everything's going to be great. But inside, Mike, you were there too. I was scared. I'm not going to lie to you. I was really scared. You say, boy, what kind of preacher are you? I'm human. And I try to reach out to make you understand I have the same feelings you do. We're just children of God. Amen? Boy, I tell you, man, I went out and cried by myself and worried and so kept begging. I bet I prayed 50 times a day, oh, God, take care of Jemmy. God, take care of Jemmy, you know. And when he came out, and even after that, I was still, oh, God, make sure everything, don't let those guys mess up. Make sure they take care of them. There's times in your life you're going to feel inadequate. How many are still with me? And I'm going to tell you, God's grace. A year ago when he had that, God's grace was sufficient for Jemuel. And just like it was sufficient for Jemmy, it's going to be sufficient for you too. Because every child of God has got the grace of God. Amen? And God's reply to Paul was, my grace is sufficient. Child of God, God will never put more on us than we can bear. Sometimes, how many say, I can't bear no more, God! Man, Lord, you know what we've been going, and now this, how can, now the stove goes out, now the refrigerator goes out, and now the washing machine went out. Hello? Or this, he's sick, and now she's sick. How am I going to take care of all this? How many are with me yet? God's grace is sufficient. Say it with me. God's grace is sufficient. Don't lose your hand because I'm going to come right back there. Hold your hand there in 2 Corinthians 12. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. First Corinthians 10:13. No, I'm wrong. What did I write? No, I'm right. I'm in the wrong chapter. Hold on. So it's the first mistake I made in about 5 minutes. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. By the way, everything we go through, other people went through it too. Not making light of your surgery, Billy. And I'll be praying, I'll be there if I can, I'll be with you. But other people have went through that surgery. How many are with me yet? Phyllis, I don't know what you did to your head, but I see a patch on your head. Okay? Other people have had the same thing done. Look up here. Look at there, what the scripture says. There had no temptation taken you but such as common to man. No matter what you went through, no matter what you were tempted with, no matter what's in front of you, believe me, someone else, it doesn't have God by surprise. Hey, God, do you know what's going on down here? Yeah, I do. It's happened a lot of times before you even came around, buckle. There had no temptation taken you but as common to man. Well, I like the next part, Carl. But God is faithful. How many see that? I'm glad we got a faithful God who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able. I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more, Lord. I can't take it. Well, if you get to that point where you really can't, God will make a way. Look what it says. God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Somehow God knows how to take us through the dark valleys. Amen? And so you think, man, I can't go another day. If you can't, if you really can't, God will make a way to show you another way. He'll open another door for you. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Don't despair. God isn't worried at all. God's not panicking at all. The lady's going to have big surgery tomorrow for cancer. God's on the throne. And when Nancy's in that surgery, the Lord will have his angels looking over. And I believe God's going to take care of it. And if it's too far gone, God will take care of that too. How many are still with me? See, we submit to the world many times when we don't have to. The Bible says, don't turn to it, but in 1 John it says we're overcomers through the world, through faith. Our faith has made us overcomers of the world. And so God's going to give us a victory in our life. Sometimes it might mean we might have to die, but we got the victory. Sometimes it means we have to go another way in life as far as physical ways of going. But God still gives us a victory. Amen? I mean, it kills me. I can't even trot. I used to run. I mean, I used to run, Coolidge. I remember one day I was preaching and I ran like I was a football player right down that, and some people terrified them. It actually scared some people because I act like I was busting right through the middle with a football. And I right down that middle. How many was there when I did that? You don't remember it, huh? About 3 years ago? It's before all this junk came on. Man, I'm doing good to walk. But boy, God will say, hey, preacher, forget about running. Why don't you just keep walking for me? You know, there's a time to walk, time to run, time to cry. How many are with me? And so, whatever God gives us, use it. Use what God gives you to do for you. Amen? Let me get back to this so I can finish it. Paul said, he went to God, remove this. The child of God, God will make us go through things, but he'll never put more on us than we can bear. It says there in Corinthians that we're able to escape. Go back to 2 Corinthians 12. But look at verse 9. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He said, God's grace is perfect. It makes me perfect in weakness. Boy, wow, that's pretty good. How many are still with me? And then he goes on to say, most gladly. Boy, there's the kicker, Johnny boy. If you ask me if I'm glad I'm sick, I'm not. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't like being sick. I don't like being dizzy and not being. When you get real bad, you feel real tired. And you don't have strength, and like right now I'm dying of thirst. You're real thirsty all the time. As much as you drink, you can't quench your thirst. I thought about that, man. The man in hell, diabetes guys, people get to know a little bit. That man cried out, "I thirst." He couldn't get his thirst quenched. A diabetic, although we're not going to hell, we have many times when your sugar is real high. You have an unquenchable thirst. And what a similarity. Amen? Oh, I don't know if that makes sense. I think sometimes when I get this diabetes, Jack, half the time I'm worried to come over to preach because I don't know what I'm going to say. That's the only thing dangerous in this. Because I might be tipping toe in the tulips with Tiny Tim and not even know it. But I don't think I'm with Tiny Tim right now in his ukulele. And I don't want to be, by the way, either. I remember that. Older people remember Tiny Tim? Boy, that guy was a bird. What a clown. Look what Paul said, most gladly. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. Paul says, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad because I can glory in God with my infirmity. Look at me. I'm still going forward because God's letting me. Hallelujah. But most of us, including me, Paul glories in his troubles instead of complains. Hello? Paul glories in it instead of complains. He's the glorier. I'm the complainer. Hey, Lord, you're slowing the thing down here. I got work to do and there's people need me. And let's get this thing erect. Let's get it taken care of. I got to get going, pal. He's not my pal. He's my Lord and Savior. What I'm saying is, many times we want to get the poochie lip. When something bad comes, God don't love me, because if he did, nothing would happen to me. I'm going to tell you, everything happens to everybody. You know why it happens? Because of Romans 5:12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We've all got that tainted blood in us from Adam. And because we do, our bodies are going to be in frail and open to sickness. Did you know the moment you were born, you began to die? Isn't that a trip? Because that blood, that stinking rotten Adam, Jackie subleased us out to death, that dirty dog. If I can remember this when I get to heaven, I'm going to go up to heaven and say, you're a dirty dog. You subleased us, but God's grace, he won't let me remember Adam was the one that subleased us all. Not only that, Rich, we'll have too much time wanting to praise our Savior that saved us. Amen? But he is a dirty dog, the Adam. Okay. And I'm really glad it was Adam and Eve instead of Adam and Steve. Did you see on the Fox News a couple days ago? They had an Air Force man there, 19 years in the Air Force. And the Air Force are wanting men to sign off that they agree with same-sex marriage and stuff. This man's a born-again Christian, fundamental Baptist. He would not sign it. And now they're trying to go against him. And they're wanting a court-martial him. Because he went and got a lawyer. He went and got a lawyer. And I know that's what he said. But because he did that, and I know you've been in the service, they're trying to court-martial him now. You think look up here, Jesus is coming back. I'm going to tell you right now, this world's getting more wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. And I'm going to tell you, our government is supporting it. Keep voting those liberal Democrats in. Keep voting those presidents from Kenya in. But it's more than that. It's all. I was talking to Brother Steve. I know, what's this got to do with the message? Not a stinking thing. It's going to get it out of my gut. Years ago, not too long ago, we voted George Bush in. And for one term, he had both the House and the Senate, Republican Party. It was all Republican controlled. And the president. And you know what they did with that term that they had when they controlled everything? Nada. Not one stinking thing. And they controlled it. And all of us Christians and far right wingers, well, we thought, man, they're gonna turn over Roe versus Wade, they're gonna do this, they're gonna do that. They didn't do one thing. So what's the story? That is the story. You answered, you're correct. I believe that. There might be a few good people in there, but not many. And if they're good when they get, they usually corrupt them afterwards. I know Jesus is coming back. I see this, like, was it 90 billion? They're printing, it's either per month or per day. Every day. You don't realize how scary it is. America is. They don't tell you. I'm not trying to scare you. You're all adults. There ain't no little kids in here. Is a baby here? She can't hear me. She wouldn't know. America's going to collapse. America is going to collapse. Tell your kids to store some canned goods and some food. Fill that freezer up full of meat. I'm not messing with you. I'm not trying to scare you. It's true. It is true. And you don't have to worry. I worry enough for all of us. But Because I watch what's going on in America, and it's not good what's going on in America. And you have a president that's not even an American, and it doesn't matter if he was or not. They trumped up a birth certificate that was his sister's from Hawaii, but that doesn't matter. America's viewpoint has changed. America's conservative they went liberal, and their heart has left God. Now, anything with God, they don't want. And God's going to say, okay, you don't want God bless America? I'll step back and I'll show you who has been blessing America. And so, God has blessed America. America's greatness, I've said this 1,000 times, I'll say it many more while I'm here. America's greatness is not from America. America's greatness stems from God. God was blessed by America beyond measure. But it's a lot of things are happening. And let me get back to this. I don't want to get into it, otherwise I'll get off. Let's go. Let me get back where I'm supposed to be preaching. But I'm just telling you, store some food and water and stuff like that. I'm not trying to scare you. At least to give you a few days before. Let's go. I got to get back to this. Okay. Verse 9 says, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made. Can you imagine that? 19 years in the Air Force, upright man. And just because he wouldn't sign. I remember a day when you were in the service that they would not let a queer in the service. They wouldn't even let a queer in the service then. They were not allowed. Now we open up our arms and say, come on, and we love you. I don't love them, but I don't love their sin, but I love their soul. Jesus died for it. But their sin is a wicked sin. And I often thought, why don't I see American prophecy? And I think America is not going to be is not in prophecy. I think we destroy ourselves. We destroyed God's not going to have to destroy this country. It's going to destroy itself within. Don't worry about Russia coming over and dropping bombs. We're going to drop our own bombs on us. Bombs of sin and evil. Okay, let's finish this. You guys get me up on their stuff and I won't be able to get back. I'm on verse 9 or 10. Most gladly, verse 9. So let me see. Right, Paul was most glad. Therefore, he gloried in infirmities. Paul glories in his troubles instead of complaints. He get this. Notice what he says. He gloried in it. Why? Look at that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Every one of us should want the power of God on us. If there's something we should want, we should want the power of God on. So when we meet people, when we speak to people about Christ, and we'll want to speak to people about Christ, love them in my heart, that when we speak, God's Holy Spirit will go out and prick their hearts and draw them to Christ. Trouble is, we're not like that energized bunny. We have our batteries are so low, we don't even tell people about Christ. And if we do, the power of God within us is so little that it has none effect. But God's word never goes out none effect, not void. So give them the word of God and you'll never go void. I wrote this down. Question. How do we respond when things happen to us? Betty, I have to say, I'm really proud of you and Johnny. You had a lot of things go bad and you just kept right on coming. God bless you, Betty and John. How you doing, Betty? Hanging in there? Yeah. You know, those knees and everything, and the hip, and she came right on back. God bless you. You could have got mad and started pouting. You could have said, oh, but she didn't do that. Still back, her and Johnny, still serving God. You know, hey, that's commendable. Some people might say, I'm not going to church. This happened to me. God doesn't love me no more. He loves you. You just don't realize that every one of us are open to what the world has. Every one of us are decaying right now. Even if you're not sick, you're going to be sick. I'm not trying to wreck you up. But what I'm saying in the future, you know, for 40-some years, I went to hospital visits because I've been pastoring for a long time and in the ministry for a long time. But never was a patient. I was in hospitals lots of times, almost every day of my life with other people. But boy, we know since the last 3 years, preacher's been in the hospital a lot. Brother Rich, all the time that I never was a patient, I'm making up for it now. I remember when I came here, we tried to take life insurance out, and they said, "Who's your doctor?" I said, "I'm no doctor. First of all, I don't believe in them. Second of all, I'm well." And they made me get a doctor so I could get a life policy, life insurance. Did you know you got to have a doctor to have a life insurance policy? Like, you ought to have seen that guy. He said, "Oh, come on, I'm not kidding. Who's your doctor?" I said, I ain't had no doctor for years. I won't go to one. If I'm sick, I'll lay down until I get better. That's the truth. I'm not lying to you. And so most people live longer if you can do that too. But don't get, if I would have not ate right, if I ate right, I probably wouldn't still have to have all that good stuff I ate and made me sick. You can't have McDonald's and ice cream, all this stuff all the time, and not get sick. I got to finish this up. I got to get my mind here back. How do you respond? How do we respond when things happen to us? I know it's after 8. When something bad happens to us, do we pout? Do we blame God? Do we question God? We shouldn't. And Paul, did you see how Paul responded? He just said, "I'm a glory in God." And now I'm going to be honest with you. I wake up with a toothache. I don't have one right now, and I hope I don't have one. But I don't say, glory to God, Rosie. Hallelujah, I've got a toothache. Glory to God. Write me down like the apostle. No. If you do that, you're an idiot. That ain't what this is talking about here. Jack, preacher said we ought to glory in our... Take that hammer and slam my thumb so I can praise God. Jack will hit it. He'll think she's telling the truth. Bam! I don't think she'll be glorying God, but I think she'll be talking to Jack. And what I'm saying is this. Don't tell Jack to hit your thumb. He might do it thinking he wants you to do it for real. He would never do it otherwise, but don't tell him. He might do that. He thinks because he wants to please you. How do we respond, really, folks? And by the way, God, not only does God see how we respond, but those around us see how we respond. How strong is our faith in Christ when trouble comes? I'll say this, and I'll finish those last verses. There was a preacher here years ago. He wasn't a fundamental Baptist, but he was my friend. And his wife died. And we were pretty close friends. And he was a good man, by the way. He's a saved man and a good man. I remember she got in a car accident, and I think both sons were really hurt real bad. His wife got killed. And they told me, I think it was during one of our VBSs, someone told me, and I rushed to the hospital. And when I saw his wife die, I started to cry because they were sweet people. Brother Sam Goble, put his arm around me and said, "It's going to be all right, preacher." It was his wife, but I was crying. Man, I don't think I could act like that, Steve. If Rosie died, then I think I'd be mad. I'm just being honest with you. And I've got faith in Christ. And, you know, I hope I'm not giving you a wrong picture here, but that man had so much faith, Coolidge. He was comforted me while I was crying because I hurt so bad for him. But he didn't cry. I was the one crying. Man, that's faith. And I had faith she went to heaven. I just felt bad it happened. And how do we respond when bad things come to us? How do we respond? I hope we can respond in a good way. Amen? Let me finish this up. Because I wrote this for all, I did all this just to do one thing. Look at verse 10. Therefore, because of all this, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. How many see that? Now, let me just read to you real quick. You can follow me if you want. 2 Corinthians, Paul glorified in his infirmaries. That's not always the way it's going to be, but Paul had great faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, here's some things that Paul went through. 2 Corinthians 11, 24, of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. By the way, remember we talked about that last week when they left him for dead? Remember that? And he went, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. Most of us would have done quit for Christ by that time. Man, I ain't going to do that. Cost too much. In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of by heathen, perils of city, in perils, in other words, dangers and stuff, in perils of in the wilderness, in perils of sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, watching often, hunger, thirst, fasting often, cold and nakedness. Man, don't tell me Paul went through it, and he wrote half the Bible, the New Testament. Hello? Don't tell me Christians don't go through hard things. The Apostle Paul probably went through more than we will ever see. Besides those things that are upon me without, which cometh upon me the daily, the care of all the churches. He said, most of all, though, just taking care of the church is a big, big job. Hello? Look, turn back just a couple more with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every, I'm in 2 Corinthians 4:8. We are troubled on every side. We are not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despaired. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Man, can you imagine all those things? And he's still saying, man, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, we can sing, oh, I love Jesus when things are going good. But when things are going bad, we say, oh, I don't care about Jesus. Hello? I'm on. Always bearing about me the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. He just wanted Christ to be magnified in his life. I hope Christ can be magnified in my life, in your life. Now, to sum all this up, some ask, what was the thorn of the flesh? And I'm going to give you two thoughts that I think that could be. And if I'm not right, that's all right, then God knows what it is, and we'll know when we get to heaven. Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 1. Here's the first thing. I believe, number one, the thorn that Satan always, he had a messenger always there to speak out, reminding Paul of his past. In other words, Paul would be trying to witness to the people, Coolidge, and somebody's always, oh yeah, listen to that guy telling you about Jesus. He's the one that killed Paul, or Saul rather. He's the one that persecuted the churches. Don't believe that guy. And I believe everywhere Paul went, there could have been a messenger of Satan, sent by Satan, if this is it, that every tried to dispute his testimony for Christ. How many are still with me? 8:1, Acts. Saul was consenting unto death, And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad. And so you can see Saul there, he hated the churches, and he did a lot of bad things, put people in prison, had Christians killed. Can you imagine if Satan had a messenger everywhere he went? Oh yeah, well my brother died because of this guy. Don't tell you about that Jesus loves me bit. He killed my brother. He put my mother in jail. Hello, for saying the name. So that could be, that messenger could have been a person or someone, or maybe more than one person, that would constantly follow him and cause trouble wherever he tried to preach Christ. Secondly, though, and this is what I believe the most, it's thought that Paul might have been talking about his eyesight. Look at Galatians, and I'll quit here. Galatians, let's see, where am I? Acts, Romans, Galatians. Yeah. Galatians. And I'm all done. I'll get you out of here. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Look at Galatians 4, 13 through 15. How many got Galatians? We're talking about the thorn. Some people thought it was messengers that, or no matter where he went, they always tried to hurt his testimony by saying what he did in the past. Trying to darken the picture for Christ always. But verse 13, Galatians 4. You know how that though infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel on you at first. My temptation which was in my flesh despised not, nor rejected, but receive me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then this blessedness of you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. Paul said, you guys know I have bad eyesight. And I believe there was some of you, people actually said, we wish we could give you our eyes. So that thorn in the flesh could have been bad eyesight. How many are still with me? And if you look in Galatians, you're still in Galatians, I'll give you one verse. Look at verse 11. Galatians 6:11. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand. Paul had to write real large because he had very poor eyesight. So he couldn't write small letters because he couldn't see him. He had to write real large. And he said, so there's no doubt in my mind, in my heart, that Paul had eyesight, had trouble with his eyesight. They didn't have a place you could go and get brand new glasses like this for $99 or $125, where you pay for them. And so that thorn in the flesh, personally, if you, I can't say for 100%, but I personally believe it was his eyesight. Or secondly, it could have been, which I gave to you first, because the first will take last and last will be first. Someone that always went around where he preached and continually brought up a messenger of Satan, always tried to distort and turn away the gospel that he was preaching. How many understand what I'm saying? And maybe it was both. I don't know. Pastor Myers, do you have any thoughts on that thorn in the eye? Yes. Yes. Yes, I agree with that. Yeah, that's very possible. Because he had good eyesight before that. And it always showed that God reached his life. Hello? But anyways, what was that thorn? Your preacher thinks it was he had bad eyes. He had bad eyes and he had in the flesh. And because he had, it was hard for him to do things. When you're blind, it's hard to do things. How many think that's an infirmary? And so that, but if that wasn't it, maybe it was those where he went, people came and tried to distract others because of what he did in his past. Maybe I don't even have it. We get to heaven, we'll find out. But I always like to put a few things out. The Bible says to think on these things, and it's good for you to think about them. And I'm trying to pull, there's a scripture in Peter right now I want to pull it, but I can't pull it out, so. Stir up your pure minds. But anyways, let's stand for prayer. I'm glad you came tonight. Thank you for coming. Yes, ma'am.